Let us pray with the Christ who is within us and among us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love coming to Grace Church. The vitality of this congregation is known throughout our diocese. So it's great to come here and to receive two more people into this wonderful congregation. And it's great to know that we'll have this memorial plaque to those who have given money to keep this mission going, to increase the vitality. And then to bless the youth corner for a parish that's got one of the best youth groups in our diocese. So thank you for being you. It's an honor to be here today. It's also good to be here because All Saints is one of my favorite feast days. Matter of fact, the collect, the preface that gets used for the Eucharistic prayer, which is designed just for use on All Saints Day, don't tell the bishop that, but I use that at other services as well throughout the year because I like that prayer so much. So let's spend a few minutes looking at All Saints. You know, a few years ago, coinciding with Halloween, Fortune 500 came up with a list of the highest earning dead people. The dead people who had earned the most money in that year. Elvis Presley topped the list. He earned $47 million that year. The top five included two deceased Beatles. And number five was Albert Einstein. I guess a lot of new parents were buying the baby Einstein videos. And that's what made him shoot up there. Now, if Fortune 500 reminds us that the dead can still be among us in the economy, the church needs to remind us that the dead are still present among us in spirit. It's what we call the communion of saints, and it's a vital part of our faith. Let's contrast our belief in the continuing presence, comfort, and challenge of the saints with a poem that was written about one of our saints, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Now that he is safely dead, let us praise him, build monuments to his glory, sing hosannas to his name. Dead men make such convenient heroes. They cannot rise to challenge the images that we could fashion from their lives. And besides, it's easier to build monuments than to build a better world. What we celebrate today is the opposite of that poem. We gather to be inspired by the saints, to see them as models of hope for our own lives. You know, there's a website out there that asks the question, what saint are you? No, I'm not kidding. And so you go to the website and you answer questions about your personality and about your spirituality and about your commitments. You hit send, submit your answers, and then you are told what saint is similar to you. FYI, I'm Joan of Arc. Now here's the logic as to why saints are gifts to us as role models. Think about what we know about birth order. Studies show that firstborn children have more stressful early years than their younger siblings. And here's why. Children learn by imitating. The oldest child has only the parents as models. But there's such a big gap between what the adult parent can do and what the little child can do, that the child is often frustrated. The younger children look to the older children as models. And while they can't do everything that the older child can do, they can do some of it. And this leads to confidence. Imagine if we only had God as our role model, the creator of the universe, the source of all mercy, all hope, all compassion, all justice. We can never be like God. But we have the saints, humans like us. And we may not be able to do everything the saints do, but we can do some of it. You know, a few years ago, there was a celebration of the 50th anniversary of the day that Rosa Parks refused to go to the back of the bus, thereby igniting the civil rights movement. A speaker that day said, "We may not have the courage of Rosa Parks, but we're all capable of Rosa Parks moments. Moments where we can be like that." We're all capable of doing something for liberation, something that provides hope instead of cynicism. You know, today we appreciate the saints whose stories have been told down through the ages by the church throughout the world, saints that we have in that book, The Cloud of Witnesses. But today is also a day to celebrate the unknown saints. You know, many of you have been to the tomb of the unknown soldier in Arlington, Virginia, right? Who's been to the tomb of the unknown soldier? You know, the Fisher family went there 20 years ago when my children were little, and I was the chaplain at West Point. And it was a typical August day in the D.C. area. 100 degrees, 90% humidity. The parking lot, if you remember when you were there, the parking lot is rather far from the tomb. And that means a long walk, some of it uphill. My children were not happy. When we finally got to the monument, and they saw a soldier solemnly marching back and forth, they said, "Daddy, we see this every day at West Point." Needless to say, we didn't stay very long. But if we had stayed, we would have seen the side wall, the sculptures of three ancient Greek figures representing peace, victory, and valor. The unknown soldiers were committed to peace, victory, valor. If we had a tomb of the unknown Christian, the unknown saint, perhaps we would have figures representing faith, hope, and love. In your life, who has expressed faith, hope, and love to you? Just imagine that person. I'm sure there's many of them. I'll give you one example from my life. Chrissy Mulready, she was the maid of honor at our wedding 35 years ago. And Chrissy's gone home to God now, but Chrissy was this remarkable person. You know, people would come to her and they would talk about all the missions that she was involved in, and they'd say, "You know, Chrissy, my heart is really with the poor." And she'd say, "That's great. Where are your feet? Where are your feet?" Chrissy was someone that if you gave her gifts, she'd warmly accept the gift, and then whatever it was, she would keep it, but she'd give away something else. So if you gave her a sweater for her birthday, she'd say, "Thank you so much." And she'd receive the sweater, and then she'd give away another sweater. Because she knew that she had abundance, and she wanted to share that abundance. You know, Chrissy was someone who, in the first Iraq War, after the war was over, she would fly to Iraq and pick up children who had been injured in the war with injuries that were so bad that their local doctors couldn't help them. And she would take them and she'd fly them back here, get them medical care, and then fly them back home with them. That sounds like faith, hope, and love to me. Who has expressed faith, hope, and love to you? Who would be at that tomb of the unknown saint? You know, in our Bible and in our prayer book, we have several references to the cloud of witnesses in reference to the saints who have gone before us. You know, usually the term cloud comes across as negative. And I know when I'm celebrating an outdoor wedding for a couple and the clouds start coming over the mountain, that's trouble. But in the Bible, the clouds are a good thing. At Jesus' baptism, there's a voice from the cloud that says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." On the mountain of the Transfiguration, Jesus is engulfed in a cloud. And then Moses and Elijah, people who died hundreds of years earlier, they appear. Clouds are signs of God's presence. The cloud of witnesses is one way of saying the saints are here, right now, in this church, with us. You know, there's a ritual from Latin America that supports this theology. In the 1980s, much of Latin America was embroiled in horrible civil wars. Death squads would make people disappear. And when people gathered in church each Sunday, they were aware of those who had been killed, those who were missing. So they developed this ritual where the priest would shout out the name of one of those who had died. And at the mention of each name, the congregation would shout out, "Presente," meaning they're here, presente. It was their way of saying, "These people are still with us. They are here. present in the cloud of witnesses. So I'd like to do a little prayer adventure with you right now. I'd invite you to shout out the names of people in your life who are so meaningful to you that have died, that have passed into eternal life. And just shout them out. And then after those names are shouted out, we'll all shout out presente. You ready? Presente. Presente. My friend Barry. Presente. 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 Those are some of the saints. And we believe that they are present right here. That they are alive in our souls, they're alive in this church, and they're alive in our society, hoping for a better society. That they inspire us to be the best that we can be. Now let's end this sermon with another appreciation of saints. Let's understand that we stand on the shoulders of all the saints who have gone before us. We are closer to the living God because we benefit from the wisdom, the courage, the sacrifice, the prayer of all those who have gone ahead of us. Those people we've just named and the saints that we've got in our prayer book. So in this spirit, I'm going to offer you a short and very Western version of the history of all saints. The spirit of the living God was given to Abraham and Sarah, who passed it on to Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob. The spirit was given to Moses, and then to judges like Deborah, and on to kings like David and Solomon. The spirit moved to prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah caught that spirit, and they gave it to John the Baptist and to Jesus. And they gave the Spirit to Peter and Paul and the apostolic fathers and mothers and Augustine. The Spirit was kept alive in the Dark Ages by the Irish monks and Benedict. Then the Spirit came to Thomas Aquinas and was revived by Francis and by Clare. The Spirit was renewed by Luther and Calvin. The Spirit came to England through Cranmer, Ridley, Latimer, and Parker. And then they came to England and the Spirit was kept alive by Elizabeth and Richard Hooker. The Spirit spread all through the world and was proclaimed here by Jonathan Edwards and lived out by the martyrs of Memphis and Damien of Malachi. It was passed on in the 20th century through the lives of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Oscar Romero and Jonathan Daniels and Martin Luther King and the church women of El Salvador and Mahatma Gandhi and Dorothy Day. And that Spirit was given to Michael Curry and to the people of Grace Church. That Spirit's been given to Tom and to Megan. That Spirit is alive right here, right now, as present as it's ever been. Amen.